Glory to God. Father, we worship you tonight and we thank you for who you are. You're the God of all creation and recreation. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We can't get over it. It just simply is permeating more and more and more as time goes on, Lord. That greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. What a family we belong to. Many parted body, but what a family we belong to. Amen. Well, we talked about a few words this morning, so I just quickly want to ask if anybody wants to tell me what the word righteous means. Somebody's saying, I'm not him again. We went through this morning, right? Yes, being in right standing with God, that's right. It's being able to stand in the presence of our Almighty God without the sense of fear, shame, guilt, or condemnation. You ever feel condemned when you go to the Lord? It takes a long time sometimes even to get over that before you can start to say, Lord, I need the prayer and I want to spend time with you. Well, we need to learn that we can walk around and develop it to the point where we don't even have to sense or feel that condemnation. And I am glad that I can move out from behind the pulpit tonight. This morning I was stuck there. And that's hard because I kept moving and I kept having to go back. So I was thinking more of going back and staying here than I was on just about anything. But faith. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen, right? Okay. Text, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. While you're looking there, I also mentioned a few other words. One was redemption. Who wants to take a stab at it? What does the word redemption mean? I'll give you a hint. It's to buy back and to be pulled out and to be set free. To be everything the Word of God says that you can be. And your potential is, Philippians 4 and 13, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. Amen. It's learning that, right? It's being able to walk in that. My text this morning, or this evening, whatever it is, today. We might have some fun tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Now you need to listen to this because I have another question after I speak this out. And I, brethren, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. He says, when I came to you, I did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. He didn't come with excellence of speech or man's wisdom. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, here's a statement that I don't know if any of you have looked at, but I have over the years because I wondered, and here I'll read it. Paul says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Now, as a faith man, how could anybody be in fear, weakness, and trembling? And there's a good answer for it, by the way. So I'm going to ask that question tonight. Why would he say that right there? Because verse 4, while you're thinking, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, verse 3. He said, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Well, may I just suggest that you have to flip over in terms of the physical side. He was not in fear. He was not trembling physically. He was in fear and he was trembling in weakness because of the fear of the Lord. Because of the message that he had to preach. And we can quickly turn over to Galatians chapter 1. He took it for sure and positively He did not take it for granted what he had to preach. In a day when things are preached, all kinds of things, we need to look at stuff like this and be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is telling us. Amen? Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So, verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than what which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You see, he's trying to define the line between preaching in the physical with man's wisdom and against preaching in the spirit under the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to love righteousness but to hate evil. And so when we begin to understand, I believe, more and more about God, not that we have to walk around in fear, or at least physical fear, but we have to have a respect for God and for His message. Verse 9 says, and we said before, so I say now again. He repeats it. It wasn't only just the one. He says, and we say before, so now I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That was the whole thing about moving in weakness and in some fear, because he didn't want to make a mistake in terms of preaching the gospel, especially to the Corinthian church, because they were a very, very carnal church. If you compare the Corinthian church to the church of today, you'll see many similarities. There's lots of divisions and backbitings. There's lots of people taking each other to court and so on. Maybe some is rightly so. But I would rather say to the person who maybe I had a beef with, and there was a few times, and one was a medical situation, I could have sued him, these doctors, and this organization. But on one hand, how can I go to him and say, you know what, I am a born-again Christian, and I believe in the peace of God, and I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Then, on the other side, turn around and sue him. Now, I know that that happens. If you find yourself in it, then you're in it. But to start it, I just didn't want to do that. And I probably could have ended up with a lot of money to keep me in a good position for a long time. So I'm not condemning anybody if you've done it. But also, I see Christian ministries suing Christian ministries. And big name ministries. Ministries you wouldn't believe. It'd make your mouth drop. Some of the ministries. And you wonder why. What is it? Or some musical group suing some other musical group because they stole their song. Well, wasn't it a biblical psalm, let's say? How come you think you have the right to God's word more than the next person? Anyways, so Corinthians was a very, very carnal church. The gifts were out of order. That's why you'll find the gifts being recorded in there. It talked about giving. It talked about a lot of things. Relationship and fellowship. I want you to know, too, that when we develop in the Word, there is a freedom that comes. Kenneth Hagin talks about a lady that it was in Texas, South Texas, and he'll give you the day, the year, the month, and so on, the minute. But he says there was a gal that was in an insane asylum down there for 10 years, and her sister had admitted her. But Kenneth Hagin, who was a strong faith man, he came to the area, and the one sister who went to that church said, I wonder if I could get my sister out of the insane asylum and bring her here to hear this teaching. And so she was able to do that. And within 2 weeks, that's 10 days of teaching the word, the lady did not have to go back to the insane asylum. It's documented because she stayed in the word. The word says, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. Now, a lot of what they were doing in the insane asylum definitely weren't making her free after 10 years. Because after 10 days, the doctors, the psychiatrist said that she could leave. That's a true story. Now, I want to talk about some ways of getting healed tonight, and I won't keep you long at all. But I got five or six ways here. The first way is to become mature in the Lord. There are other ways, and I mentioned it a bit this morning, and it's good and all of that. But the first way is to become mature in the Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word also says that without faith it's impossible to please Him. But He says, all things are possible to them that believe. Does that mean that if we read enough of the Word and allow it to become a part of us, that we're going to say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it'll happen if we don't doubt? Yes, that's what it means. It means that. And I said this morning too, because it's so true. If we would stop speaking to God about the problem and speak to the problem about God, we'd be moving along much faster than what we are. The body of Christ has to come to a place where we're so mature that the people on the outside again will look and say, something has happened. They're not just a flaky old bunch anymore. They may have had their down times and all the rest of it, but Christianity is on the rise. We're going to see revivals such as people getting healed, ears open, eyes seeing, the maimed will have limbs grow and the lame will walk. We need to be mature, especially for the newer ones coming in. They need to see that we know who our God is. Proverbs 18 and 21, though. It says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. It says, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We need to start confessing. We need to take the Word and confess it over ourselves. We need to watch what we're saying about family, about friends. We need to be a positive. And this is not a positive sort of thinking message. This is what the Word of God is saying. We need to take the Word and be positive and speak life over our kids, over our families, over our spouses and so on. We need to speak life. Mm-hmm. If it's in the Word and it says life and death is in the power of the tongue, then that means something. It means that life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's very simple. The Bible says in Proverbs 12 and 18, it says, there are those who speak rashly, like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's amazing. It brings healing. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Is speaking life a good report? Yes. I think so. It says if there be any praise, if there be anything worthy on these things, think about these things. Meditate on these things. Meditation is allowing the Word of God, let's say, to go over and over in your mind. And allow it to become part of you. It's like anything. If your diet is hamburgers, at the end of the month you're going to look like a hamburger. You know, it's just kind of common sense. Or 2 months, or three, or whatever it takes. But we need to have the Word a part of our diet. I challenge anybody, anywhere, that if you have the Holy Spirit living in the inside of you, and that's the one who wrote the Bible, I believe it's 1 Peter 2:20. He is the author of the Bible. He will lead you into divine healing. He cannot lie. He will honor His Word. Now, there's nine essences of God. The first one is He's totally love, He's totally judgment, He's totally righteous, He's totally sovereign, He's totally immutable. Immutable means He cannot lie. That's over in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. He cannot lie. If His Word says so, then His Word says so, then it's true. That's only five. The other four are He's totally omnipresent, totally omniscient, totally omnipotent, omniscient, He's totally eternal, and He's totally omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. Talking about healing, He is Jehovah Rapha, meaning He is the God that healeth thee. He's also omnipresent. So if He's everywhere at the same time with His total, complete healing package, then all we need to do is keep the faith on. Keep the switch on. You know, I say to Him, Lord, You're free to move through this house wherever I am. I'm keeping the switch on. If I'm sitting in my chair, you can flow through me. You can do your healing. You can talk to me. If I move around from one room to the other, I want you there. Speak to me. Because you're omnipresent. You're in my house anyway. I'm just saying, yes, please do. Please do. That would be one way to be mature in the Holy Spirit. That's the best way. Because if you get a healing, let's say, and you're mature in the Lord, the devil is not going to be able to come back in and steal that. Because the minute you get the healing, he's going to start working on you. The symptoms are going to come back. There may be the same people that speak negative and pray carnal prayers over you. They're going to do the same thing. You have to stand as a mature Christian and then believe that healing is for you and it's for today. Like I said this morning, and I keep repeating, but I think it bears repeating. If God was into making sickness and disease and so on, then why didn't he make Adam and Eve sick? When he created Adam and Eve, he didn't make them sick. He made them perfect beings. It was them that sinned and fell. It was them that died spiritually. And it was then sickness and disease came in from the devil. The devil is the author of sickness and disease. So if the devil is our enemy, then what and why sometimes do we take the sicknesses? I mean, there are things that kind of creep up on us. We may have had a poor diet for 12, 15, 20 years. We may have smoked cigarettes. We may have drank for 25 years. So we've been killing ourselves maybe, but for us not doing that kind of stuff, the enemy has no hold. And even if we have done that kind of stuff, we can take and deal with the enemy. He's like a kid at the gate. We just have to go out and boot him out. That's what Jesus did. And then he says, I give you power to tread on all snakes and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, nothing by any means shall hurt you. Luke 10:19. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. It's not just kind of, it's totally sold. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. You may have a friend or a relative that is sick, but if you have the truth, you can continually pray, continually deal with that thing, because that friend or relative may need our intercession. You'll see it all through the Word. So that would be number one. Number two would be someone moving in special faith. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, starting with verse 4. Now there are distinctive varieties. That's the Amplified. I'm going to switch to the New James here, King James. Verse 1, first of all, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Go to 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son, work here in these giftings. Verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God, God the Father, which works all in all. Now verse 7, but the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The giftings are for the body. Verse 8, for to one is given the spirit of word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But here, verse 11. There are 9 gifts represented there. There are 3 you know, 3 you do, 3 you say. The 3 you know is the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits. The 3 that you do is the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gifts of healing. And the 3 that you say is prophecy, tongues, and then interpretation. That's 9 gifts. But verse 11 says, "But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." He wants things decently in order, but he wants to release his gifts. And so the second way that I would say that to get healed would be to actually go to see someone who does move in the gift of faith, in the gifts of healing. And he lays hands on you, or just maybe in his presence under the anointing. God will raise him up. God does that over and over and over. And the other thing is too, he may drop down into you the gift of faith. I don't know if you've ever moved in the gift of faith, but when you do, it's an amazing thing. You can actually feel like, you can say to the mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea." You can actually feel that, you can say that and really believe it happens. And that's what God wants to do with us. There are people that don't know anything about the gifts. So God might just endow you with the gift of faith. You go see the person, boom. You say, "Can I pray for you?" Bang. And as soon as you pray, things happen. Healings start to happen. So that's number two. But it says he wills. Number three, there's the anointing with oil. In Mark 6 and 13, and I'll read it out. "And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and he healed them." He used the oil as a point of contact, which represents the Holy Spirit. Oil is one of the emblems of the Holy Spirit. James 5 and 14 says, "If anyone be sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And it says, "The prayer of faith will raise him up." So what has happened? What has happened? That's my question to me. What has happened? And you don't have to be like the elders for years and years and years. You have to be a mature Christian. You need to go and anoint with oil. And the prayer of faith will raise them up. Some of our problems is that we don't believe that. It's hard to believe. A good friend of mine went in to pray for someone. And it's a true story. I knew him well at the time. He went to the hospital to pray for somebody, and as he was praying, the person died. Now, it's sad, but it's funny, because if you knew the guy, I mean, but here's my point. It'd be better to pray for him, and even if he died, than never to raise your hand and put it on him and pray for him in the first place. He laughs about it, but that's what happened. The fourth one is actually laying on of hands. Mark 16 and 15. "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned." He says, "And these signs shall follow me in my name. You will cast out demons. If you drink anything deadly, it will not hurt you." And then he goes on to say, "If you lay your hands on the sick, they will recover." So there are people like us, believers, that can go and pray on people and see them be raised up. But there's also another kind. There's people that move around with such a thing is called the ministry of laying on of hands. This is a special anointing as God gives. In Mark 7, verse 32, it says, "Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat, and he touched his tongue. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly." A person can be supernaturally anointed, just like the Lord, or like Paul, because didn't the Lord say, "As I am, so are you to be in this world"? Didn't he come to free the captive? Yes. He wants us to be as he is, so in this world. Number five is more anointing. We all need more anointing. We all need the manifest presence of God operating in our life. We all need to understand what the anointing is and understand His presence and understand when He's moving on us and understand what He's telling us to do and where and what and so on. So in terms of the anointing, there's an individual anointing, there's a corporate anointing, and there's anointing for a ministry. So the first one, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, Luke 4:18, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. We have a personal anointing. We can move in that anointing. John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Why? Because I go to my Father. The greater works is getting someone born again, that's for sure. But there are all these other works that God wants us to do. The second one is the anointing for ministry gifts. Now let's look at the Lord for a minute. The Lord moved in every office. And He is our example, and He is our model in every gift. First, He was the apostle. He is the sent one. Secondly, He was the prophet. Remember the woman at the well in John 4? Thirdly, He was the evangelist. He was going around preaching and teaching the word and getting people healed and so on. The fourth one is that he was the pastor. He said, I am the good shepherd. No one plucks you out of my hand. He is the good shepherd. Peter calls Him the chief shepherd. And fifthly, He's the teacher. The four Gospels say more about His teaching than anything else. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching in the kingdom of God, and healing every sickness and every disease which was amongst the people. Here, I'm giving you healing scriptures because I want to build up your faith. I need to build up my faith. I want to be able to walk around, and if God says, go pray for that person, I want to see results. We have it in there. For greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We need to use it. We need to take some chances and be bold. Just to give out some words and then go home and do nothing with them doesn't mean anything. We need to allow them to become a part of us so that we can go out and do it. And then there's the corporate anointing. So there's the individual anointing. There's the anointing for ministry. And then there's the corporate anointing. The corporate anointing says, the temple of the Old Testament was made by buildings, by men. But today, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? We are part of the body. The Old Testament was part of a building. Today we are the building. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Number six, and here I'm going to spend a little time on this one, but this is the response of the recipient if you're praying for somebody. Turn over to Acts chapter 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 3. The song that says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 16. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. Who seeing Peter and John, he was about to go into the temple, but he asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him, him and John, they said, "Look at us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something, some money, some alms. Verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Now verse 7, and he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. If you ever had any feet problem, any ankle problem, and you would be laying down for long periods of time, it wasn't only just the miracle of getting healed, there was the miracle there of getting strong feet and strong ankles. Verse 8, and he leaping up, stood, and he walked, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This is something else that I don't see too much in church. There's not a lot of walking, leaping, and praising God. There's not a lot of people that I see running back and forth excited with the things of God. I was just at a place in Oklahoma, Tulsa, and man, they do a lot of that. But the presence of God is very strong because they bring the presence of God with them into the meetings. They bring the presence of God expecting for things to happen. They're teaching and preaching the Word constantly. And they're being bold and they're stepping out based on what the Word of God is telling them to do. Leaping and running and praising God. Who would like to be a first candidate? Leaping and running and praising God. Many times at our church I've done that. And it's good because I'm free at church to do it. My daughter and son-in-law are the pastors, so it's okay. They don't say too much. They don't even pull me aside later. I like that part. So verse 8, and leaping up, he stood and he walked and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Now here's what will happen. Once the miracles start flowing more and more and more. I know we've all seen miracles and I know we want them in our lives. But once it starts happening more and more and more, the people are going to be watching and seeing these, and they're going to be amazed and they're going to wonder. Then they're going to come to you and say, "What is it that you've got? Because I want some of that." And what a way to witness. It's better than knocking on doors. It's better than standing on the corner. It's better than talking to someone in a restaurant, a waitress, or whoever. Taxi cab, it's better than that. When you show a miracle, when you live miracles in that, you're going to have people coming to you. They're going to flock to you. Especially today. We live in a world that, man, the Word says in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world is under the sway of the enemy. They don't know these things. This generation is disconnected. They don't understand these things. New Christians don't understand these things. They may have seen them, but the day of the great revivalists are pretty well gone. There are some out there, but it's not like what it used to be. There was major revivalists back in the 40s and 50s, and they were healing revivalists, and used no other names. But the way that they filled their tents and filled the buildings and stadiums where they were was through signs and wonders. We need a revival of, yes, signs and wonders, but we also need a revival which is in our heart and our love for God and a love for a fellow man. The Word says there are two commandments, right? I mean, there's 10, but out of the 10, there's 2, really. You should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Secondly, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says all the commandments are tied up in them too. And so we have to realize that when we do come to Christ, we enjoy everything. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are blessed. Now, how do we pass it on? We seek the Lord for Him to work in our life. We pray and ask the Holy Spirit that miracles would move in our life, that You would will that we... That You move in our life so these things happen. All these giftings happen. And I know we're going to come into that kind of stuff. So verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them. And that's what will happen. In the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. That's what they were doing. They were greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Verse 13, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And verse 16 culminates this whole thing. It says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So we need to have response. We need to have response. The last time that the doctor walked into the hospital, I think it was in November. He had said, and I was fairly sick too. He said, concerning what I'm giving you, he says, I am killing you. Right there and then the penny dropped. I said, I will never, ever listen to them in terms of going after anything serious again. So that would be two cancers, hepatitis C, and a bunch of other things. And since that time, I've been getting better and better and better without drugs. Feeling stronger and stronger daily. Putting on weight more easier and faster than what I ever could. So in his name and through faith in his name has made this man strong. Lord, we just thank you and we worship you. We worship you. Lord, we want to run and jump and shout. Father, we want you to speak to our hearts. We want to know your voice, Lord. We thank you for that. Finally, I just take a few minutes. I want to say this. That there are about four ways God speaks to us, very simply. I know there are books that say there's a lot more. But basically, there are four ways. If you take the four ways and break them down, and the first way is he speaks to us through our inner witness. People say in their knower, I know that I know that I know. That is the Lord speaking to us. Because he lives on the inside of us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 18, it talks about that. We, if we're the children of God, we are led by the Spirit. The Spirit leads us. The thing is, we have to have a lot of things out of our life so that we can actually hear His voice. Sometimes His voice is very difficult to hear. And it shouldn't be. There are times that maybe we need to just sit there sometimes and in His presence and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Have I missed it? Have I gone on for 4 or 5 months or 6 months or a year? Did I not hear you back then? And I'm floating down this route? You see, there's always a fight going on, but sometimes the fight is over in this area. Military people understand this. But we're fighting over here. You know, and that causes a problem, especially when we're a Christian. The devil laughs at that kind of stuff. So the first one is by inner witness. The second one is by His Word. His Word doesn't say, hey, 1 Michael chapter 5, verse 6. I can't go in the Bible and find that. But the Word is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is the only qualified agent that can tell you whether you're operating in the spirit or in the soul. We need the Word of God more than at any other time. There are so many deceivers out there. I shared a little bit this morning about some of the things that are going on there. Some of the bogus teaching. And I hardly touched the surface because there are well-known people out there teaching stuff that is wacky and off the walls. You see, they may have at one time had part of the Word of God, but this is what happens. They'll take part of the Word of God and move out, leaving the Word of God alone, or leaving the Word of God back there. So we have the Word of God. The first is inner witness. The second is the Word of God. The third is vision and dreams. Lord tells us at the end times, his sons and daughters will prophesy, his old men will dream dreams, his young men will have visions, and so on. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 and 16 and so on and up there. Well, the Lord said that we would in Joel, so we do. But remember Paul on the road to Damascus. He had a vision. He was knocked down. The Lord spoke to him. He says, go to Damascus, go to the street called Straight. I'm going to have someone come by and pray for you. While that was happening, there was a disciple at Damascus. His name was Ananias. And the Lord talked to Ananias. He says, Ananias. Ananias says, here I am, Lord. I'd love to be like that. Hey, Mike. Nothing. He says, Ananias. He says, here I am, Lord. He says, listen, I want you to get on the street called Straight to the house of the tanner. No, that was Peter. Street called Straight, and I want you to pray for a fellow by the name of Paul. In a vision, he is seeing you come to him to pray for him so that he can receive his sight back. Wouldn't it be nice to be that sensitive? Or Peter in Acts chapter 10 in Joppa. And I've been in Joppa. We've lived in Israel for a while and so on. But Peter just up on the roof, having visions. But what to eat and what not to eat in terms of Gentiles and Jews and so on, and that everybody's the same. It doesn't matter denomination. Doesn't matter what kind of, whether you're Jew or Gentile, male, female. Males are not better than females and so on. So Peter was there. He was in a vision. Then he seen people coming to the door. And he said, when they come to the door and they knock on the door, I want you to go down, see them, and go with them. And they did. It was Cornelius. Visions. Joseph, Jesus' father. Even though the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, Joseph had all kinds of visions and visitations by angels in terms of go this way, go that way, take your wife with child and go there. And then when the time was up, okay, come back. The fourth one is voices. God speaks to you in your own language just as people do. Acts 21. Paul was there in town. A prophet by the name of Agabus came by. And he grabbed Paul's belt, didn't he? And he bound his feet and he bound his hands. And he says, here's what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's saying, the guy who owns this belt, when he goes to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest him. And the Jews are going to turn him over to the Gentiles. Well, Paul didn't care because he was on a mission. But that's what and how the Lord can speak to us. And we need to be able to understand and know that people are walking in offices like this. Another reason too, and I'll close with this, that you can tell that somebody's walking in a certain office is because some of the giftings that they do. A teacher would walk in the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. You would have to know what to say and when to say it. Not just spout it off, but what to say. What do some people need? Like the fight, if the fight's over there, you can't be fighting over here. If a person needs to hear this, you can't tell them that. I think it's a big job for a teacher to hear what it is the Spirit of God is saying for that person or that group. Because the next day, the thing that you were doing over here, he might say, now go say that. But you told me to say this. No, but that was for them. This is for these people. What about the pastor? What would the pastor know in terms of ministry gifts? He would have to have the gift of discerning the spirits. He should know when there's a wolf around. He needs the word of wisdom and knowledge to know what to do with that wolf. whether to sit tight and be quiet or to go after them. I guess it all depends too sometimes on the personality, because I've seen it in a few ways. Some will say, well, I'll give them rope and let them hang themselves. But I've seen the other way too, and this would be the way that I would tend. I would go right after them, because there are sheep that can get hurt, sheep that can get shipwrecked and never again find their way back on. There's sheep out there right now. What about an evangelist? Evangelists would definitely have to have the gift of faith moving in them. Especially if you were going to go get healed with that special faith I was talking about. And what about an apostle? Apostle would have to be a sent one. 2 Corinthians, I think it's 12 and 12, says, mighty man of word. You wouldn't be able to fool an apostle in terms of word. It just doesn't happen. A humble person. No one would flaunt this. What about a prophet? And not a parking lot prophet either. A serious prophet. They'd have to have all the gifts, I think, moving in them. They'd have to have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of discerning of spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. Especially now. I think if, and as prophets are being risen up, I think it's a little more tougher for them now. Because people are not buying it anymore. On a Sunday morning, there was a person in Oshawa, no names. Never came to the church, but he was known by a lot of people, a lot of churches. And to my non-understanding, I didn't know why he was in such good favor and standing. Sunday morning, 10, 15, 20 minutes or so, whatever, before service started, I was standing with my son-in-law, who at this time was just beginning in the pastorate. And he's a timid guy to begin with, but he's pretty hard to fool. Pretty smart. But this person came in, he pulled out a piece of paper, he says, I have a word for this church. Man, I jumped on that. My son-in-law didn't say too much, he just kind of looked at me. But I says, don't you dare even consider giving that word here. Mm-hmm. Not this morning, and I don't care what you think of me. I've seen too many shipwrecked people. If you want to give that, you first go through the proper channels. You write it down plainly. Give it to the pastor and we'll look at it. Funny thing, he left. Never seen him again. So we got to be careful. But my subject, I guess, tonight would be healing. But I think we have to be wise. And when we read the word, we're going to become wise. There's not too much going to affect us that is not of God. And God wants us to be obedient, then we'll eat the fat of the land. The fat of the land doesn't just mean material stuff. It means the blessings of God. So Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word. Lord, we want to continue in your word, then we will be your disciples indeed. We already are your disciples. But we know more of the truth, and the truth will make us free. Father, I pray for each and every person here tonight and each and every member of this body. And even if they're not a member of this body, Lord, I pray for wisdom. So much wisdom, Lord, that there be no question and no mistakes. Lord, if we go to step out after praying to you and asking you, because your word says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give liberally, who will not abrade it. In other words, he gives to us freely. We will not be double-minded, Lord. For your word says, let not a double-minded think that he will receive anything. He's like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. So, Father, give us that wisdom. Proverbs tells us over and over and over, sell everything, get wisdom. Wisdom. So we pray for that for us, Lord. because out of that will come the issues of life. Thank you for this opportunity, my Lord, to be here today. And I sense your presence now, and I just want to know what it is you want to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just stand, please, and begin to worship the Lord? Or if you feel comfortable, sit there. But let's just worship the Lord for a few minutes. Just for His goodness. Just for who He is. Not because we want something. Let's bring no list to Him. Just for who He is. So Lord, we worship you, we thank you, we bless your name. Holy, 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 holy Lord. I bless you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I give you all of you are, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lift up our voices to you. Lord, we thank you, we worship you, we bless you. We praise your holy name. Lord, I just bless your holy name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you for your presence, O Lord. Father, we ask for wisdom. Lord, we will sell everything for the wisdom of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. And that inhabitation there means that you pull up a chair in the middle of us. Not off to the side, but you come right in the middle of us. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. We bless you, Master. We bless you. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We bless you, Lord. We magnify your name. We magnify your name. Lord, you're worthy of all our praises. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy, O God. You are worthy, O God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory,
glory.
Holy are you,
Lord. Holy are you, Lord. Praise you, precious Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. Well, tonight, you can keep your eyes closed. I'm going to ask if there's anyone here that needs a healing or is in pain. But tonight I'm going to say to you, either lay your hand on where the sickness, the sore, the pain is, and thank the Lord for His delivering power. You see, it's already done. It's already signed, sealed, and delivered. We are redeemed. So Father, in Jesus' name, as we do this, we just look to you as our healer. Completely and totally, Lord, you are our healer. Jehovah Rapha. And Lord, we know that you are totally and completely omnipresent. You're everywhere, all at the same time. So Lord, if you're totally our healer, and if you're totally everywhere at the same time, then we thank you for flowing through us and healing and delivering us.
Thank you, Lord.
Even now, as I pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just keep that switch of faith on. Hallelujah. 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 The word says that our kids, our children, will be taught by you, and great shall be the peace. If there's any kids in here that are wayward, Lord, we ask that you just send ministering angels to minister and to speak to them. Father, send people that love you and will minister to them. For Lord, we don't take it lightly about eternity. We are all eternal beings, and we have to spend our eternity somewhere. And so, Lord, we agree with you that it needs to be with you. And Lord, we love your children, just like you love your children. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And Lord, you're sending us. Thank you, Lord, for our children. Maybe our spouses. Maybe our relatives. And we ask, Lord, even finances. Finances and mountains that are in the way that will restrict us from doing what it is that you want us to do. And Lord, possibly addictions in terms of food and what we partake in our bodies that will stop us from doing what it is you've called us to do. You want us well. You want us prosperous. Your word says, brother, wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Our soul is our mind and will and intellect. But Lord, finally, it's not our will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name.